Our first scripture for today comes from the first chapter of the book of Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." And then the gospel from John chapter 15, the words of Jesus, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and thus become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.
The Lord of life, a vine is he, engrafted to him we must be, and thus we yield abundantly sweet fruit for all to taste and see.
Amen. 3 years ago, Gary and I spent Thanksgiving in Florida with our family. We came back on Sunday morning because I had to lead a church conference that night in a city along Lake Michigan. We had left ourselves plenty of time. We had an early afternoon arrival in Grand Rapids. As our plane approached Grand Rapids, there was a very low cloud cover, so that by the time we could see the ground, we were already just about 100 feet off the ground. We could see the runway in front of us. We were within seconds of touchdown when all of a sudden the pilot accelerated and the plane soared back up into the sky. Oh, we were all spooked. Everyone was looking at each other in confusion and even fear. We didn't hear a word from the cockpit or the flight attendants for about 10 minutes. We had no idea where we were, what was going on. And finally, the pilot came on the intercom and explained that when the plane had broken through the cloud cover, he realized that the plane was not aligned with the runway. In other words, the plane was in the wrong place to land. Well, evidently something was wrong with the computer system, and the pilot decided that because of the low cloud cover, because he couldn't do an instrument landing, he didn't want to try again in Grand Rapids. So off we went to the nearest airport that had no cloud cover, which happened to be Fort Wayne, Indiana. Well, I was 100% supportive of the pilot's decision. Now, I love adventure, but I really didn't think it was a good idea for us to land in the field instead of on the runway. So we're in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and there's no plane there waiting to take us back to Grand Rapids. And the plane we did have was not easily fixed. So we sat there for between 4 and 5 hours. Let me tell you, it's not a destination, Fort Wayne Airport. I knew right away that I was not going to make it to Grand Rapids in time for going to Muskegon. So I called somebody and got a substitute for the meeting that night. But to this day, I'm sure nobody in Muskegon believed my excuse. So close, and yet so far away. As we sat in Fort Wayne twiddling our thumbs, I was reflecting on the experience and decided that God was teaching me a lesson about the church. If First Church, or any other church, desires to make disciples of Jesus Christ and transform the world, then all of our programs, activities, and ministries need to be aligned with our mission and our vision and our core values. Oh, we can plan dozens of events every day in our church, which we do exceedingly well here. However, if we don't have a clear vision for where God wants us to be 5 years from now, then we may not always be landing on the right runway. Our ministries may be scattered, and we may not be as effective in what we do. Did you ever think about the fact that every church has a unique character? Every congregation has unique resources, unique location, unique makeup, unique passions that church members and friends offer. Every church should also have a unique vision for where God is specifically leading us, along with a runway for how to get there, if we're clear about where we want to end up. Then we'll know where to direct our energy and our priorities. First Church has a strategic vision. It's called the Next Generation. This strategic plan was developed about 5 years ago and consisted of five big ideas to be implemented over the next 5 years. Well, a couple of those ideas were radical hospitality. Another was ending up in the beautiful renovation that we have. The Next Generation has served us very well, but those 5 years are just about up. Every strategic vision is unique. And yet there is one thing that all Christian churches hold in common, and that is our overarching purpose. The purpose of the Christian church is to bear fruit. It's the same question that John Wesley asked those coming to be ordained at the third conference of Methodist preachers in 1746 and every year after. Have they fruit? John Wesley would ask. Do these preachers have fruit if they want to come forward to be ordained? In other words, do they have anything to show for their ministry? Have they saved any souls? Have they transformed any lives? Have they fed and nourished any hungry people or hurting people? Is the world any more just and compassionate and caring because of their words and action? Have they fruit? I don't know if you ever noticed these pictures, but if you go out the door of the sanctuary and you turn right down the hallway, there are pictures of John Wesley on the wall. Go in the right parlor, the word library, you see John Wesley. Whenever I walk by these pictures, I know that John Wesley is looking at me. And he's asking me, "Hey, Laurie, have you fruit? Have you saved any souls lately? Are you ushering any people onto the runway of God's kingdom? Are you empowering anyone in their Christian walk?" But I also believe that John Wesley is asking us as a congregation, every time we walk by those pictures, hey, have you fruit? Have you fruit? Are you sharing God's unconditional love with everybody who walks in the door of this building? And what are you doing outside the building, in our community, and the world, to care for the needs of this earth? Have you fruit? John Wesley asks us. One of the most unique aspects of God's character is fruitfulness. And because you and I are created in God's image, that means that fruitfulness is a unique aspect of our character as well. God is creative and productive. God creates the earth, then God creates the animals and the birds, and then God creates us. Do you remember the first thing the book of Genesis says that God told us after creating us? Be fruitful and multiply. The entire biblical narrative is the story of how God continually molds and shapes us into fruitful people who reach out to the rest of the world. In Genesis 17:6, God says to Abraham, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. What that means is that not only would Abraham have many offspring, but the fruitfulness of his life and relationship with God will be a blessing to the world. Out of all the people in the world, God chose Abraham and his family to bless the world. And then we get to the book of Exodus, and God is speaking to Moses and says, Moses, remember, the Israelites are going to play a unique role in the history of this earth. By bearing fruit, the Israelites kept their covenant with God to be a blessing to all the world. So the circle has widened. Not only has God called Abraham, now God is calling all the Israelites to bear fruit and bless the world. And then, when Jesus was born and he went through his ministry, he died and was resurrected, he said to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. I have appointed you to go and bear fruit. Well, the circle is widened even further. Not only is Abraham called, not only are the Israelites blessed, but now the whole world is blessed. Everyone is included, even Gentiles, even you and me. Our call as Christians is to bear fruit by sharing the unconditional love of Christ with all so that they too will be blessed. In our scripture from John, Jesus talks about the vine and the branches as a metaphor for our connection with God. God's the vine grower, Jesus is the vine, and we're the branches. The vine grower, and the branches are all essential for the production of fruit. But the key to bearing fruit is that we abide in Christ. To abide means to stay in connection with Christ, to rest in his love, and be grafted onto the vine. If we abide in him, we can bear fruit. But apart from Christ, if we don't abide in him, we can do nothing. Have you fruit? What is the overarching purpose of the Christian life? Is it to become rich, wealthy, successful? No. Is the purpose of the Christian life to get to heaven, as some people would claim? No. Our biblical mandate is to bear fruit in this life, so that everyone can experience heaven on earth through God's blessing. And there are some people who believe that the purpose of the Christian life is faithfulness rather than fruitfulness. I confess that we preachers are sometimes prone to declare, especially when things aren't going well, oh, well, God's only calling me to be faithful, not fruitful or successful. Declining churches are sometimes actually proud to say, God doesn't care if we grow or not. God just wants us to be faithful. Well, I'm all for faithfulness. But faithfulness becomes a cop-out when churches get mired in the status quo and they refuse to grow, to reach out to their neighbor, and to serve the least, the last, and the lost. Fruitfulness is effectiveness in ministry. So, is God calling us to be successful, heavenly-minded, faithful, or fruitful? Do you see the difference? Fruitfulness plans for and expects results. There's a small United Methodist church in Oceana County, which is in the western part of Michigan, along Lake Michigan. Oceana County is one of the poorest counties in Michigan. Yeah, the county's been declining for decades. There just aren't any jobs except for a few major fruit processors. Well, the little Methodist church in Shelby decided about 15 years ago to build an addition to the church. It was a big project for a small church, and part of that addition was a gym. But they forgot something. They forgot that the purpose of the gym was to bear fruit. They never developed a plan for how this gym would engage the community. And so the gym remained empty most of the time, forgotten, except once a month when the huge mortgage payment came due. In 2009, Maxine Martin died. She was a saint of the church, heavily involved in volunteering for children in the community. A couple months after she died, two fruit-bearing sisters had a vision for a free clothing ministry called Maxine's Closet. They had a closet or a room in the church where they allowed people to come in and take whatever clothing they needed. But their vision was larger than that. They went to see the Shelby school superintendent and explained their vision, and he blessed them and gave them space at the school so that they could have an annual giveaway day. And on this day, they asked community people, everybody from the county, to donate clothes and to donate money so that they could purchase backpacks and a pair of underwear and a pair of socks and two uniforms for every child or youth who came to that giveaway day. 2009 was the first giveaway day. They offered a free lunch and a free breakfast. The Shelby football team did the loading and the unloading. 30 church and community volunteers oversaw the day. 350 children and youth in that small county got free backpacks and clothes and underwear and love and hope. 3 weeks ago, the fifth giveaway, the number of children and youth served ballooned to 715. Now mind you, that county, that school system has 1,470 students. So that means that virtually half of the students in that school were served by a once dispirited congregation that found a new runway of life and hope because of Maxine Martin and two sisters who were determined to become the next fruit processors in Oceana County. Contrast Shelby United Methodist Church with a town, a small town in New England, in which one church's bells had rung to mark every hour of every day of every year for generations. But like so many other churches, that church began declining, a slow decline over decades, until finally the church closed. The building was torn down and the bells dismantled. Years later, the farmers in that community were talking and they all agreed they missed the bells, but they didn't miss the church. What if the people in that congregation had asked John Wesley's question, have we fruit? Are we doing anything that matters in this community? Now, if they'd asked that question, it may not have changed the ultimate outcome of that church, but it might have prompted them to acknowledge that their church as it was served no purpose in the community other than that of a clock. Maybe that admission might have opened the runway to new life. What good is an apple tree if we don't learn how to grow luscious apples? What good are all of our ministries, all the events that we do, if we don't have a runway, if we don't have a purpose and goals, a plan of implementation and measurements, and if we're not connecting with the very people that we hope to serve? What if this fall, what if we all started asking the question, have we fruit? Have we fruit? What if we started listening to John Wesley? What if our administrative council meeting in a couple weeks would ask these questions? Where is our next runway? How can we build on the solid foundation of our current mission and ministry to develop a compelling vision for God's preferred future for First Church over the next 10 years? Have we fruit? What if every ministry leader at First Church would gather their team and would ask, have we fruit? How is what we're doing making any difference in our community and around the world? Is the world any healthier or more just or grace-filled because of First United Methodist Church? What if our trustees asked, how can we make our church even more available to individuals and groups who need a place of safety and hospitality and unconditional acceptance? What if our clergy and our staff would say, have we fruit? Can we move beyond a desire for success or heavenly mindedness or mere faithfulness to empower our congregation to bear fruit in their pure spiritual life as well as the ministries in which they're involved? Carrie and I volunteered Friday night at Friday Night Lights. Any of you been there? It's kind of the thing where if you're not there, you have no idea what goes on. On the surface, mass confusion. 720 middle schoolers were there. 48 adult volunteers. Noise, chaos, confusion, running, laughing, yelling, screaming, playing video games, dancing, playing dodgeball, playing musical chairs, more noise, more mass confusion, more chaos on the surface, but underneath, there were multiple runways of fruit bearing. Underneath the noise, grace. Grace and compassion and caring and safety and acceptance and a warm smile and hugs and laughter and love and light. Surely the Spirit of the Lord was in that place on Friday night. What a calling we have to bear fruit and multiply our love. Have you fruit, Laurie? Have you fruit, Jason? Have you fruit, Emily? Have we fruit, First Church? I don't know where God is leading First Church, but I do know this. Fruitfulness will be an essential part of our vision and our future. Thanks be to God for the privilege of bearing fruit that will last. Let us pray.
If him be joined to him,